say you move mountains. You cause every demon and wall to fall. It's at the mention of your name. 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 And we're in here that know you made a
way
over and over and over and over and over and over.
All together, this is my Bible. God's holy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. When I open my Bible, God opens his mouth. When I close my Bible, God closes his mouth. When I live in it and abide by it, I shall live life at its best. Pastor, we are ready for the word. Pastor, we are ready for the word. Preach the word. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, I want to look at two passages on the day. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, as well as I'd like to read in your hearing from the book of James, chapter 5. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, Mark found in the New Testament, I want you to hang out with me for a few moments at verse 20. Nine, if you will. In Mark chapter 1, verse 29, it says this, and immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law laid ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. He came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. In the book of James, chapter 5, if you will, and I want to ask you to look with me at verse number 14. That's where I want to start reading, if you don't mind. In the book of James, found in the New Testament, I often tell persons of our congregation, do not be ashamed to use the table of contents. The more you use it, the less you'll have to use it. Amen. For those of you with your newfangled fancy Bibles, all you got to do is put in James, and it just takes you right there. Amen. In James chapter 5, if you will, look at verse 14. James chapter 5, verse number 14. And here's what it says. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. I wanna preach today from this subject, this thought, this question. Why not heal everybody? Why not heal everybody? On your way down to your seat, just tell somebody, even me. Even me. All of us at some point on this journey called life wrestle with questions and doubts about our faith in God. Amen, amen, amen. All of us. At some point in this journey called life, Brother Henry, we wrestle with questions and doubts about our faith in God. The question that we raise about God oftentimes can produce doubts in our minds, causing us to doubt our faith in God. There are some questions that just don't add up, that we cannot make sense out of. It's hard for us to rationalize in our finite minds those questions that plague us. Questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? For Charles, questions like, if God by his own nature declares himself healer, why doesn't God heal everybody? I mean, after all, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. God first introduces himself as healer in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 26, where he declares that he is the healer of his people from physical disease. Is it what it says? It says, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, because I am the Lord who heals you. The Bible records, you all, a considerable number of physical healings in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. God healed Amalek and his wife so that they could have children. He healed Miriam of leprosy. He healed King Hezekiah of a terminal illness and added 15 more years to his life. He healed Hannah from her barrenness. He used Elijah to raise a widow's son from death. He healed Naaman after dipping 7 times in the muddy Jordan. He healed Nebuchadnezzar from insanity after he decided to look to heaven and declare God as king. God used Elijah's bones to bring a dead man back to life. In the New Testament, you all, he heals a man with a withered hand. He heals a blind man by putting mud on his eyes. He heals a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. He heals a Canaanite woman whose daughter was vexed with the devil. Jesus healed a paralytic and he raised Lazarus from the dead. I'm just trying to suggest to you that the Bible records a considerable number of physical healings. So then, if God by his own nature declares himself healer, why doesn't God heal everybody? Maybe somebody listening to me right now is suffering from a disease. You prayed every healing scripture you know, and still you're left wondering, why won't God heal me? Maybe somebody in here right now, under the sound of my voice, is attending to some sick relative, and you keep praying and asking God, God, what should I do? And the more you pray, the worse they get. Maybe somebody in here today, you've recently lost a loved one to cancer or some other terminal illness or terrible disease. It's only natural to ask the question, why does God heal some people and not others? Our text today gives unto us a very vivid picture of Jesus performing miracles. Bible says, First Lady, he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and the people were blown away by his teaching. Bible says that Jesus also healed people, and he cast out demons as he healed persons while in the synagogue. Text tells us that after Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Simon's mother-in-law, Bible says, was sick with a fever. This fever that Simon's mother-in-law had was threatening her life. There was a significant need in her physical body. Her life was being threatened, and she needed a miracle. It's important to know that every miracle, regardless to the kind of miracle, whether it's a physical miracle, whether it's a miracle of protection, whether it's a miracle of deliverance, whether it's a miracle of healing, every single miracle has one thing in common. All miracles begin with a problem. I want to suggest to you today that if you have a problem, you are a candidate for a miracle. All of us would love to see and be a part of a miracle, but none of us want the problems that are associated with having a miracle, because we don't want to go through hard times. None of us are rushing to sign up for problems. The truth is, y'all, if you want a miracle, you have to have a mess. And the bigger the mess, the bigger the potential miracle will be. The mess in our text was that Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a fever that was putting her life at risk. Simon and Andrew told Jesus about her right away, according to verse 30. Please don't close your Bibles on me. Look at verse 30. According to verse 30, Simon and Andrew told Jesus about her right away, and immediately they told him about her. Bible says right there, immediately they told him about her. Now, I think this is important because, y'all, how many times when we have a problem, whether it's physical or with our business, or whether it's parental or marital or relational or even financial, how many times do we tell everybody but Jesus? I mean, y'all, we tell our parents, we tell our crew, we tell our homies, we tell our spouse, we tell our friends, we tell our coworkers, we tell anybody who will listen to us. May I suggest something to you? Y'all, we're not really bringing them our problems. We're simply bringing them our complaint about the problem. But Andrew and Simon teaches us that we must first go and tell Jesus, because they understood that Jesus could do something about it. Not only was their response to tell Jesus, but the Bible says they told him right away. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. Come on, help me, y'all. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Veronica, watch verse 31 of our text. It says this, you all. Verse 31 of our text says, and he came and he took her by the hand, lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she began to serve them. So here we see Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law who has a fever. Mother Pringle, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. This is what Jesus does, and this is who Jesus is. Y'all, there are 37 different miracles in the New Testament that Jesus performed. 37. He healed 37 miracles in the New Testament that Jesus performed. He healed a blind man. He opened deaf ears, cast out demons, turned water into wine, walked on water, calmed the raging sea. He raises persons from the dead, took 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread, fed thousands upon thousands. All of this because that's who he is. And it's what Jesus does. Now, he performs miracles. Oh, God. He performed, chapter 9, verse 35 of Matthew tells us, and Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Wait for it. And healing every disease and every affliction. Now, y'all, I believe the scriptures to be true. The Bible tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I want to suggest y'all and ask you, if he could heal and do miracles then, he can still do them today. Y'all, his ability to heal has not expired. God tells us in his word that we should ask for healing. James chapter 5, y'all, verse 14 through 15 gives us some specific instructions as to what we need to do when we are physically sick. Watch what James says, y'all. He says, are you sick? Call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over you, anointing you. Am I in the word, y'all? Anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Watch this. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is what? Sick. And the Lord will raise them up. Y'all, James does 3 things for us here. One, he assesses the situation. Secondly, he gives us a solution. And then thirdly, you all, he secures our healing. I want you to get it again. Y'all, he assesses our situation. Wait for it. He asks, are you sick? He asks, is there any sick among you? Now, I like James because James doesn't leave us sick. He offers a solution. He says, if you are sick, call upon the church leaders, get them together to pray. Now, watch this, you all. Pray here, Kelly. Pray, the word pray here means urgency and passion. Pray here is the petitioning of God, y'all, to come together to pray. He says, this is the petitioning of God to come through for us. He says, when you pray, I want you to petition God to make a way for you. And then James tells us to have them anoint you with oil. Now, wait a minute. The oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's important to note that the oil doesn't heal you. It's simply a symbol of the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Wait for it. Then James tells us that to seal the deal, we need to do it in the name of the Lord. I wish I had some Bible readers here. And now the word name here, Pastor Flowers, the word name here is not about the name as much as it's about the authority of that name. Yo, there is authority that comes with the name of Jesus. Bible tells us that his name's got so much authority that at the calling of his name, every knee is gonna bow, every tongue is gonna confess to the name of Jesus the Christ. Yo, that's the kind of authority his name has. Watch this. But not only will his name or every knee bow, not only will every knee bow at his name, but every sickness, every disease, every issue is going to have to back up. Because his name is higher than any other name. I wish I had some folk who could help me call his name. Jesus is his name. And his name is above every other name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Then James says this. Wait for it. James says, then he says the prayer of faith is going to secure your healing. My man. That James is something. He assesses the situation. He gives us a solution. But then he tells me, my healing is secured. God Almighty. The prayer of faith will secure my healing. Oh, man. He says it's a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith that God responds to. Man. Now, this shouldn't surprise you because when you read the gospel time and time again, Jesus responded to people's faith. He responded to their faith. On one occasion, he tells the woman who touched the hem of his garment, he says, your faith has made you whole. So it's no surprise then, preachers, that Jesus would write that it is the prayer of faith that secures your healing. The verse says Jesus will raise you up. That's what it says. That means you all, Jesus will restore you. Now, Let me argue this for a moment. Here's what I need you to focus in on. James was not denying the fact that you wouldn't get sick. Come on, help me preach. James is not denying the fact, Del Marie, that you won't get sick. I wish I had time to linger here. I don't have much time because I've got some people, I've got some folk who believe that that somehow or another that because you saved and sanctified and got the Holy Ghost that you don't get sick. James, Cheryl, is not in denial that you won't get sick. No, he's not pretending like you won't get a disease or illness. Notice how he starts off with our text. He says, are you sick? He says, if there's any sick, I wish I had some Bible readers, y'all. Any sick among you. But he didn't leave it there. He then offered a solution. He tells us that healing is available when you pray the prayer of faith. When you call on God, you gain access to what God can give you. Man, I feel something happening. I said to them, somehow or another, that when I call on God, I somehow gain access to what God has to give to me. Y'all, he makes some stuff available to me. Y'all, when you call on him, when you call on God, you gain access to what God can give you. Now, when you call on others, they can only give you what people can give you. But when you call on God, y'all, he's able to give you what only God can give you. God can give us what others cannot. I'm going to hang here for a minute. I said, God can give you what others cannot. I don't know who that's for, but I came today with my 45 aiming today. Because I need you to know God can give you what you've been looking for others to give unto you. I say this on the heels of Valentine's Day gone by. And somebody is upset because your love didn't give you anything. But I got news for you. God can give you what others cannot give you. I said, God can give you. I don't know who this is for, but I feel God said, hang here for a moment. Because somebody up in here been looking for others to bring you satisfaction. And I've got to tell you, it ain't them who can give you satisfaction. It's God. Okay, all right. Y'all, I don't want to go that far. Come on, let's go a little further. Now, when you call on him, he can give us what others cannot. Hold on, Chris, I'm almost there. Pastor, this is great. And Pastor James has given unto us a compelling solution for sickness. Y'all be seated. I'm coming. My time's gone. I'm almost there. Pastor, this is great. Nelson, this is good stuff. James has given unto us such a compelling solution for sickness. But I remember, Pastor, praying for somebody and they didn't get better. But instead, they got worse. And eventually, they died. Am I talking right to you? So, Mother Mac, Pastor, you got to help me understand. Help me understand that. Why pray if when you pray, nothing's going to happen? How could God, by his own nature, declare himself a healer and let some folk die and other people live? Y'all, listen. I can't tell y'all, Elder Hell, I can't tell y'all that I understand everything about God and his decisions. Y'all, there are some things that just don't make sense to me. Minister Chantal, you know, it's not logical, nor is it rational. I'm not going to pretend to y'all that I have answers that I don't have. I don't understand how one can be healed and the other die. And they both prayed to the same God. They both had the prayer of faith working on their behalf. But one died and the other lived. I do believe, however, I do believe this, y'all, that God heals. God, I, y'all, I, Don't rush me, y'all. Don't rush me. I got to get this out. I got to get it out. Y'all, I said, y'all, I do believe that God heals. Y'all, I believe that God does heal. But I also believe that healing is not always like what we perceive healing to be. See, physical healing is not always the only path that God chooses for us. But sometimes, y'all, death is the ultimate healing for the believer. I'm going to come back, Deacon Sheridan. I'll come back to it. I'll come back. Don't push me. I got so much to give to you. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I do believe God heals. May I suggest this to you all, Elder Matt, that, y'all, we don't pray for healing in order to twist the arm of God. We pray for healing because God told us to. And when we pray, we choose to believe God can heal. And we choose to trust him that he will heal. But then we leave the results up to God. So why doesn't God heal everybody? The obvious answer to that question, y'all, rests in the fact that God is sovereign. I know that's the big word. In other words, y'all, God is ultimately, y'all, in control. Watch this. And he knows what's best for his creation. And he can do whatever he wants to do. Now, while this is certainly true, there are some clear-cut reasons, though, that are given in Scripture to further explain why God may not heal when we ask him to. Let me give them to you. I'm going to bid you goodbye. My time's gone. Let me just run through them real quickly. Here he is. Y'all, there are some clear-cut reasons as to why God may not heal when we ask him to. Can I give you the first one? Here's the first one, y'all. The first is sickness can be the result of unconfessed sin. Log it in. Now that's James 5:16. I want to caution you, here's a note. All sickness, however, is not the result of sin. So because you're sick, doesn't mean that you've sinned. Don't have time to go through it. I want you to put the note down. Y'all, number one is unconfessed sin. Here's number two. The second reason it could happen that you don't get healed is because of lack of faith. When Jesus healed the sick on many occasions, he made this statement, your faith has made you whole. Yeah. Couldn't do many miracles where you were because y'alls don't believe. That's Matthew 9:20-22, okay? Y'all, here's the third reason. Here's the third one. You ready for number three? Yeah. It's because of your failure to ask. Some of y'all too lazy to bring your behinds to church on Wednesday nights and just even pray to ask God to do something for you. And then you have the nerve to want to send somebody a note asking, would you pray for me? I want to tell you so bad, I need you to get up and come pray for yourself. Got my 45. I came aiming today. Y'all, listen, the third one is failure to ask. That's James 4:2. Sister Mercedes, you just go ahead and log it in for me. I don't have time to work through the scriptures. When you get home, read them for yourself. All right? Here's the fourth one, y'all. Here's the fourth one. You ready for number four? It's because there's a need for deliverance. That's Acts 10:38. Gotta move. Here's number five, y'all. Number five is there's a higher purpose. You know, as seen in scriptures, oftentimes God will use physical suffering to develop our character and produce spiritual growth in us. He has a higher purpose for us. Here's number six, y'all. God's glory. God's glory, God's glory, God's glory. That's John 9:3. When this happens, y'all, it's possible that God's planning to do something powerful and wonderful, something that will bring even greater joy and glory to his own name. Who did sin? Was it his parents or him? Neither. But he was born blind that my Father in heaven might be. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Here's the last one, Mother McCray. Here's the last one. It's God's time. The reason why God won't heal us, y'all, is because it's God's what? Y'all. So one reason healing may not occur is that it's simply God's time to take the believer home. Hebrews 9:27, all right? Go ahead and log it in. Y'all, I need y'all to know something, that death, I told you I was going to come back to it, is the ultimate healing for the believer. I said death is the ultimate healer for the believer. And we have this wonderful promise to look forward to when we reach our final destinations at home with God in heaven. Are y'all listening to me? I want to help y'all. See, when you pray for healing, understand that it doesn't mean God didn't heal you because the person died. It's just that God healed them different from what you wanted. Hey, Brandon, see, many of us view healing, y'all. We view healing as something that is literally a bad thing. Can I help y'all with something for a moment? I'm going to bid you goodbye. I'm going to take you to a book that you don't like to read because, as you say, it's scary and because you don't even know how God works. Go to Revelations chapter 21, please. Revelations 21. I'm through, y'all. Revelations chapter 21. Watch verse number 4, if you don't mind. He says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Can I get you believers to help me celebrate God? Yeah, you're missing the time to shout. Watch this. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning nor crying. Wait for it. Here it comes, y'all. And no more pain. And then the writer says, no more pain, Sister Karen, anymore. Y'all ain't helping me preach. Y'all, for the former things have passed away. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, God will wipe away every tear. Hold on. I asked y'all not to rush me. Max Lucado tells us that regardless to the pain, y'all sit down one more time. God's still good. I know y'all talking about me, but I got to get it out, y'all. He's still good. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when there are no answers, I come to tell y'all he's still good. When I can't figure God out, he's still good. Max Lucado, he tells a story about a friend of his named J.J. Jasper, who had a 5-year-old son named Cooper. He says one day Cooper was killed in an accident, and what made it worse was that J.J. Jasper was the one driving when the vehicle flipped over and killed his son. Story is told that J.J. Jasper called 911 for help, and then the next call he made was to his wife. And he said to his wife, I got some bad news to share. But before I tell you, I want you to think about everything that you know that's good about God. Max Lucado said he watched J.J. Jasper walk his wife through the tragedy of losing a son. But Max Lucado said those words that J.J. Jasper told his wife kept haunting him to go ahead and make a list now of the goodness of God. Because he knew, Chris, that one day he would face hardship and difficulty. And he was going to need that list at that time. I want to share with you partially what Max Lucado, what he wrote about God's goodness. He says this, y'all. He says, God is still sovereign no matter what. He still knows my name. Angels still respond to his call. The hearts of rulers still bend at his bidding. The death of Jesus will save souls. The Spirit of God still indwells in the saints. Heaven is still only heartbeats away. The grave is still temporary housing. God is still faithful. He's not caught off guard. He uses everything for his glory and my ultimate good. He uses tragedy to accomplish his will. His will is right, holy, and perfect. Sorrow comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Y'all, listen, there are some things we already just know to be true about God. Let me thank y'all for letting me share my Sunday school lesson with you on today about why God won't heal everybody. But can I just tell y'all this? As I make my way to my seat, I gotta tell you this, y'all. Here's what I want you to know. Y'all, you need to know this, that though I cannot figure God out, I still love him. Though I cannot understand what God's doing, I still trust him. And though I have wonders about what God is up to, I still tell God, yet though you slay me, I'm still gonna trust you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but Danielle, you might be going through some real heartbreak, but I got news for you today. The Lord that I serve, even though I'm going through some hard times, God is still good. I said, God's still good. I said, God is still good. Even though I can't figure it out, God is still good. Even though I can't make a way, I can't figure out what's going on, I need you to know, God is still good. I said, he's still good. God is still good. Is there anybody in here who can testify? I lost my mama. I lost my daddy. I had heartbreak and a heartache. But I got to testify. There ain't nobody like God. He will bring you through. Shout glory. I have a witness in the house who knows God will. Yes, he will. Would you help me preach? Turn to your neighbor and testify. God will bring you through. Say it like you mean it. Touch him like you mean it. God will bring you through. Hallelujah. Won't God do it? I just need some believers in the house. Won't he do it? Yet though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. Everybody stand with me, please. Everybody standing. Hallelujah. Everybody standing. Ready, y'all. Come on, let's go. Let's fish, y'all. Let's fish. Let's fish. Let's fish, y'all. Let's fish. Come on, reach out, hold your neighbor's hand for a moment. While you're reaching for that hand, go ahead and begin to pray. Lord, save. God, save, 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 save. Set free and deliver. Yes, God. While you're praying today, while you're praying, I want to ask you, while your neighbor's praying for you, if you're here today and you say, hey, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to have the joy that I hear so many other believers talk about. Pastor, I want to be saved. Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ. I got to tell you that you can be saved today. Listen to me. Not by joining the church, but by you connecting with Jesus. If you're here today and say, hey, Pastor, I want to get saved. This invitation is for those persons who say, hey, I want to get connected to Jesus. Whether you're watching me via stream, whether you're in this place today, if that's you, I want to extend an invitation to you. This is the hour for you to be connected to God. Maybe you hear and say, hey, Pastor, I'm connected to God, but I'm looking for a church that will help me stay connected. I want to recommend this church to you. You've been coming all this time. You might as well go ahead and make it your church home. Allow me to feed you and nurture you in the Word of God. Maybe you hear, you say, hey, Pastor, I was connected, but then I walked away from Him. But I want to come back to God. This invitation is for you also, and you can come back to Him.